Welcome to the show, and it's very, very early there, so kudos to him for joining us from Talk Radio News. He's in Turkey. Zach Badorf joins us now, and he spent at least a few hours in Syria, from what I'm told. I got an update on that earlier. Zach, thanks for popping on. I know it's had been a very long, long day for you. First of all, explain what's happening in Turkey, because we've been talking about this now through the eyes of people there, through people who are Turkish that are here in the United States that are upset by what's happening in their homeland. What have you seen since you've been in Turkey?
Yeah, I came to Turkey to do this reporting on the Syrian crisis. I mean, when I was doing my preparation, I was hoping that I'd be able to spend, you know, a week, maybe 2 weeks within Syria itself, perhaps in Aleppo across the border. But you know, it turned out that the circumstances were too dangerous to really spend much time in Syria. I was fortunate enough today to be able to be in a situation where it was safe to go inside with a Syrian who is a refugee and living in Turkey. You know, he took me inside to, you know, he knows the area well. I went to a camp where internally displaced people, IDPs, are living. I mean, so basically they're people who are fleeing the conflict and they haven't left the country. They're just leaving, going to other parts of the country. And there were about 11,000 people in this camp. I talked to an FSA fighter. I talked to someone preparing food. I talked to one of the camp managers. I talked to different people throughout the camp, children and adults. And I spent about 5 hours inside Syria itself, just down the road, about 1 or 2 kilometers away, according to the information that I have, where checkpoints where Al-Qaeda hangs out, you know, these groups known as Jabhat al-Nusra, or the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. In fact, the more radical, more extreme group, ISIS, was the group that has a checkpoint just down the road. And the biggest fear is kidnapping. So, you know, my biggest fear today was that someone would spot me, give these guys a call, and they roll up the road just 5 minutes away and grab me. And, you know, unfortunately, that's happened to some journalists. They take a ride from the border, from the Turkish-Syrian border, try to go to Aleppo to do some good quality reporting, and they get grabbed by these guys as they go through checkpoints, and they're detained. You know, there are American, there are foreign journalists at this very moment being detained by these groups, and they're not really even negotiating. They're not reaching out to sort of get kidnapping, ransom, or whatever. They're just holding them. Who knows what's going to happen to them? It's such a terrible situation for journalists. And you know, obviously that there are only a handful of journalists, but it's an equally harrowing experience for hundreds of thousands, millions of Syrians who are going through incredibly difficult times in Syria itself.
The in talking about that, seeing the camp, being there for the internally displaced persons, as you were mentioning, in that camp were there thousands? Was it just, I'm picturing in my mind, trying to give the listeners a picture of this, were there thousands of people, and were there tents, and what did that look like?
Yeah, let me describe that for you. So about 11,000 people I'm told are living in this particular camp, the Salame, the IDP camp where I went today. There are millions of Syrians who are internally displaced. In this particular camp, it's run by an organization called, with the acronym IHH. It's a Turkish organization that supports Syrians or just across the border. They're living in tents. When I say tents, I mean very, very basic tents. No running water, no electricity, unbearable heat. I mean, I'm still sunburned from just spending the day there. They get 2 meals a day. There's limited medical care. It's they're doing, you know, the folks who are there who are doing the humanitarian aid work, they're doing a great job doing what they can with what they have. But it's not much, and they need more support. You know, the living conditions are quite tough. I should add, on the other side of the border in Turkey, the conditions in the camps are pretty high, I mean, in the scheme of things. You know, I've spent some time at refugee camps in Asia and Africa doing reporting, and, you know, in the camps in Turkey, they do have electricity, they do have running water, they have education, they've got health care, they've got vocational training, the camps are well secured. Some of them are in hard structures as opposed to tents. But, you know, one last point on this is that although they're well taken care of, at this point, the Turkish government is who's taking, you know, doing most of the funding, whereas it's, you know, it's a really a global collective responsibility to take care of these refugees. And the UN has an appeal for $3 billion in aid to support these refugees. So far, the international community, the donor governments have provided only 40% of that. So there is definitely a big funding gap for organizations like UNICEF and the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR.
Did you find that, Zach, because people realized you were an American or a journalist, did anybody approach you or say, is the United States going to help us? Because as you know, that's the raging debate about Syria and when to step in and all that kind of stuff. Did anybody ask you any kind of questions like that?
Yes, absolutely. Everyone did. You know, I don't mind telling people that I'm an American in situations like that. There's sometimes when you don't mention your nationality, but in this particular case, it was safe. So when they heard that I was American, some people basically were saying, "Where are you? Where are?" I mean, they said they like Americans. They said they have nothing against Americans. They're not terrorists. These Syrians, you know, they're just looking for some sort of support. They need to be able to defend themselves, they said. And they want across the board, everybody I spoke to said, we need to be doing, the West, the United States, and other nations need to be doing much more. They feel like they've been abandoned, that, you know, they're just left alone to die.
Wow. Zach, so just quickly, so you're going to stay in, are you going to stay in Turkey now for a couple more days or longer? Or are you camped out there now?
Yeah, I arrived about a week ago, and I'll be in Turkey for the until early September. So I'll be doing some more reporting here, and I'm working on some other stories, and hope to be back on your show at some point later too. It's you know, there's a lot of amazing stories here. You know, people who have endured some great hardships but are persevering. I mean, they're very resilient, and they're fighting the good fight and trying to bring about some sort of peace, some stability, some dignity, and some freedom for their country.
Zach, again, terrific stuff from CRN. Zach Badorf joining us from Turkey. Get some rest, and thanks for telling us about the story and going into Syria and giving us a glimpse of what it's really like for all the people listening to us across the world and here in America. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for having me on.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Afganistan opią pieniądze, tam gdzie przebiega linia frontu. Bruksela jak Lekińczyka, aż się wykrwawi każdy z nas. Demokracja z metodami jak Stasi. Wolność, kolorowy sen szarych murów.
Luke Vargas joins us now, of course, covering the United Nations. And, Luke, I guess, you know, we talked to Zach Badorf, and he was mentioning about the United Nations and the money, the $3 billion for aid, and looking at this situation in Syria and there on the Turkish border. And he spent some time in a refugee camp for the internally displaced persons. I know you spoke to him. Obviously, we heard that. So, What's the likelihood that anything happens with the United Nations in this funding?
It's going to be tough. I think Zach painted a very good picture of what the situation is, and that's that there's a tremendous amount of resources piling up along the Turkish border. The kind of services that he was listing, seeing in the Turkish camps, water and everything to vocational training, that's very impressive. That's a developed humanitarian infrastructure. And then just going over the border, the camp that he visited is less than a mile from the border. And there the resources are already being strained. And as you imagine, as you push further into Syria towards the site of fighting in Aleppo is the closest big city to him, the resources really start to dwindle. And the United Nations has very little it can do. It can raise money, but access is key here. And there are some countries like France who have been trying to gather momentum for a UN resolution that would create basically what are called humanitarian corridors where fighting would essentially end, a temporary, likely truce would you know, govern a small area, allowing humanitarian deliveries into a region, and then the fighting could, I guess, pick up in the wake. But there's very little support at the UN for anything on Syria at the moment, let alone something as seemingly politically simple as humanitarian aid. Money will come in, but I really can't say with any confidence that the UN is going to be able to effectively allow or find a way to get access into the areas where there's fighting and grave need of aid.
Then the other thing is, and Zach talked about this too, is the news about alleged chemical weapons, an incident in Damascus the other day. So many of these people, these 11,000 people or so, are concerned about the possible use of chemical weapons, because can you imagine with the precarious situation there? And what are you hearing about that?
Well, the camp that Zach was in has been hit in the past with mortar shells. I don't believe those populations have experienced a direct chemical weapon strike, but as is the case with refugees in a country like Syria, people are coming from all over, and it wouldn't surprise me if there are some in the ranks at the camp that Zach was visiting who have experienced, more intimate experience to a chemical attack. They have certainly happened in other parts of the country. The majority of attention, though, on the chemical front is in the south, is in Damascus, where the incident happened yesterday. And here again, we've got a UN team that is on the outside looking in. The UN sent a Swedish scientist named Åke Sällström, who's very accomplished and acclaimed in his field, and he went there, but he's not a politician. So they sent along a UN diplomat. And for the past 6 months, she's been trying to get access for that scientific team. And after all those months, she was only able to get access to three sites. And so even though Åke Sällström, the scientist, is in Damascus, less than 5 miles from where the chemical attack is supposed to happen yesterday, and that there's some absurdity to just even thinking about that, he is, you know, from all the indications I have, being handled by the government, his movements are being guided, and I get the impression he can't just hop in an SUV with the UN's name on it and drive over to where this attack was. I think there's very little leverage on his part, and that's probably why the UN is sending Angela Kane, his political counterpart, out there today. The window is closing on having any ability to verify what kind of attack may have occurred here. These vapors, chemical vapors, dispersed within hours. Unfortunately, the UN is at the mercy of its host in Syria, and that's the Assad government.
Yeah, and you've watched this unfold now for a while in Syria, and, you know, ultimately it's what was the propaganda that's out, and as you just said, how, you know, the time, the window is closing on verifying that and whatnot. From what you know from your sources at the United Nations, are they incredibly disappointed that the world has not jumped, as you said, even the humanitarian aid much more and grabbed a hold of this, and just for some reason, because of other things that have happened in the Middle East or whatever the reason, is there massive disappointment?
It's been a very strange work environment this week. So essentially last night there was an emergency meeting of the Security Council. This council, at least this year, and I've only been working at the United Nations since the beginning of this year, so I can't speak to how this group of diplomats has reacted in the past to certain massacres, essentially. But from what I could tell, they were willing to just keep deferring statements. I know it's going to be impossible to get much of anything past a Russian veto or past a Chinese veto, but the extent to which American diplomats in particular have not even attempted to use the bully pulpit on Syria is astounding to me, particularly with Samantha Power now at the United Nations. I think expectations about her performance are fading very quickly as people see that she is not the vigorous and vocal campaigner against genocide that she was able to be in the academic world. She has been noticeably absent from the meetings today, the meetings yesterday, and we're just not hearing the U.S., at least at the United Nations level, projecting much of a message on the Syrian issue. They're allowing impasses at the Security Council to write the story for them.
Wow. All right, Luke Vargas, thanks so much. Appreciate the update. Terrific stuff from TRN. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
So, wow, what a way to start off the show, talking with Zach Badorf, who called us from Turkey, and you heard his story of being in that Syrian camp with 11,000 or so people and how they were desperate to try to get into Turkey. It really pulls it into perspective, doesn't it? It's interesting because the president's red line for Syria is being tested big time now that the Assad regime used poison gas to attack people near Damascus, which was part of that discussion, killing potentially hundreds in what could turn out to be, you know, the worst deployment of chemical weapons yet. So now there's been more pressure on the White House to do something about this. Videos showing people convulsing and choking, and photos of kids wrapped in clean white shrouds lying shoulder to shoulder with their very dead faces visible. So will this move the White House to do anything? The White House said it was trying to confirm the reports independently, but that the allegations pose a test for Assad, who has said he wants to disprove the allegations. So we're back to the same thing of chemical weapons. Yay or nay, what's happened here? And remember, this was the line in the sand that the president talked about over and over again years ago. So Josh Ernst said it's up for them to live up to the claim, is what he's saying. What that means is Assad is going to have to decide whether he allows the 20-member team of the inspectors who just arrived from the United Nations to examine the new sites, which you heard Zach talk about, there, and really also Luke Vargas saying that, you know, with time is ticking away, so the longer it takes for them to get in, the more that evidence, you know, blows up. That's it. The more it'll go away. In New York, the Security Council, as Luke was talking about, had that emergency session to call for what they're saying, a thorough, impartial, and prompt investigation of the charges against Syria. So here you go. There are some people that are jumping out, like the Argentinian UN ambassador, who said that there was big concern about chemical weapons and the use of the chemical weapons. Russia and China approved the move but blocked a proposal by the United States and its allies to issue a stronger statement on the whole thing. So there we are. That's where we're at with this whole story. But, wow, really interesting to get the inside look from Zach Badorf. Coming up on the flip side, Bradley Manning wants to be a woman, already has a name picked up, and wants to live as a female in custody. Stay with us.
We can buy GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
All right, throughout this whole show, you can weigh in on Syria. Hearing that people are being gassed, allegedly, wink, wink, we've seen the photos. Sarin gas is what we were talking about. Luke Vargas gave you what was happening at the UN. And, of course, the in-country report in Turkey was great from Zach Badorf, who described for you what it was like and what people were saying to him about where was America. So should we... do we need to, in some way, at least from a bigger humanitarian way, be involved in Syria? The president said, once gas comes out, I got my proof, we are in. And can we afford to be in on Syria? See, this is the problem. I'm sorry to all the people in Syria. We've already used all of our ammo, all of our blood, sweat, and tears into other hot spots in the Middle East, and we got nothing left in the tank. Seeing those photos, it makes you want to throw up. I'm serious. It is brutal, because I've seen some of them. 855-266-5283. Throughout the whole show, you can weigh in on that. 855-266-5283. You can chat us up or you can shoot us an email at americatonight.net. Either way, all of it works, and that's how you can get to the show. All right, Bradley Manning, he's made no bones about it, has not hid the fact that he is a woman inside. He wants to be female, period. You know, this is one of the things that came out about Manning with the fact that he was disillusioned with the military and he was isolated for various reasons. And so part of that is probably his quest to be female. He wants to live as someone named Chelsea Manning instead of Bradley Manning. And he wants to start hormone treatments as soon as possible. This is a day after being sentenced to 35 years in prison for dumping government secrets to WikiLeaks. The decision was announced in a statement that was given to the NBC show, The Today Show. And here's, I'm going to read the statement to you, because of course this is not from his lips, as he is in prison for secret dropping. So he says, "As I transition into this next phase of my life, I want everyone to know the real me. I am Chelsea Manning. I am female. Given the way that I feel and have felt since childhood, I want to begin hormone therapy as soon as possible." So the statement asked people to use the feminine pronoun when referring to Manning, and it was signed Chelsea Manning. So Bradley slash Chelsea Manning in prison, getting the stiffest punishment ever slammed down in the U.S. for leaking info to the media. With good behavior, credit, all that stuff, he's already served 3.5 years. He could be out maybe in 7 years. That's what his attorney, David Combs, is saying. He told Today that he hoped people at the military prison in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, would accommodate his request for hormone treatment. If they don't, he said he would do everything to make it happen. Now, think about this, okay? He's in prison. He didn't get the 90 years. He didn't get the 60 years. He provided all the information, some of it absolutely jaw-dropping, about the two wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. But let me say this again. He was an Army private. He was an analyst. He had the information in front of him. He grabbed the information and gave it up. He released classified documents. Now his attorney, one day later, which they've already asked for leniency or a pardon, we'll call that, from the president. So they're filing that paperwork. And, oh, by the way, do you mind? Can we please have hormone treatments? Because we don't call him Bradley anymore. He wants to be Chelsea. So what do you think the Army is going to say to this? No, we don't provide treatment or sex reassignment surgery. You're in prison. Inmates are considered soldiers and are treated with access to mental health people, a psychiatrist, social workers, that kind of stuff. But hormone treatments? Mm-mm. Transgender people, apparently, which I knew very little about this, use cross-sex hormone treatments to alter their gender characteristics. So then you're in prison to think what goes through your mind and everything else. High doses of female sex hormone estrogen are given to someone born male to promote growing breasts. So he would come in a guy and that would start to happen in the middle of that? I don't think so. And they say there has never been a case similar to Manning's. Of course, Leavenworth is an all-male prison. So think about that. It's an all-male prison. So he would need to petition for a transfer to a federal prison to get the hormone treatment. So that's the bottom line. The prison staff, I guess, has a way to separate him from the general population because of the security risk. And that would definitely present a security risk.
Isn't definitely. He already presenting a security risk anyway?
Now. Yes, he's already a security risk as it is. So now you're going to take a guy, turn him into a woman in a prison atmosphere. And did you hear what we're talking about? Leavenworth? Are you kidding me? He's been there for 2 years. That's a minimum to medium security facility for the pretrial guys. But after sentencing, gang, guess what? He's moved to the military's only, I'll say it again, maximum security prison, which is also at Leavenworth. The biggest, baddest, meanest dudes on the planet are in Leavenworth. I have been to a a maximum. I've been to a medium, a minimum, a maximum prison system, and it is brutal. I mean, it's brutal. I was in Lompoc, California. I couldn't wait till we were filming a story. Got the warden, filmed the story as fast as I could, and we got out of there. So Bradley, call me Chelsea, would be in serious danger, I would assume. He would have to be transferred. There's no question about it. I mean, if Manning dressed as a woman, then he'd have to be segregated from the other population. So somebody would have to, what would they do, bring in dresses? You have to wear your military garb, right? And that doesn't matter, male or female, you're wearing the jumpsuit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, aren't they just wearing jumpsuits?
Yeah, you're wearing a jumpsuit. So he enlisted as a guy, and that's how he's incarcerated. He's been incarcerated as a man, and he would stay incarcerated as a, as a man. But it's just another crazy twist in the Manning, in this whole Manning thing. And, you know, we've had all sides of this. And we try to do that on America Tonight, by the way. I always say, I invite everyone to this party. I know you have opinions. And if you have one eye open and you're listening to this and you're saying, what is she saying? Are you kidding me? I didn't hear all that. So I don't care if you're right of right, left of left, somewhere in the center, or just completely sick of it all. You don't even want any label because you can't find any party that you can identify with that reminds you of what the parties used to be. That's all cool. You can still ring us up because all opinions are welcome. So how crazy is this? And what are you thinking if you're the warden of that? This isn't, again, one of those classic, what would it be like behind closed doors? And all of this was going through his head. This is the stuff that he was dealing with as he was serving. Right? This is what he was dealing with. In fact, there was, if you remember this, there was a defense witness who said a couple of years ago, before Manning was arrested, that Manning emailed him a picture of himself in a blonde wig with lipstick on and with a letter titled My Problem. And then the whole thing talked about wanting to be female. But Manning's attorney said that email is evidence the military knew of his struggles, but they allowed him to stay in Iraq as an intelligence analyst and keep his security clearance. So they're trying to blame the military. Look, the guy was bonkers, and he had this going on in his head, dealing with his what he wanted to be and not be a man and all this other stuff, and you kept him there. So, I mean, in a weird way, there was a television show, if you remember, in the 70s called MASH. It used to get huge ratings. And there was a Corporal Raider O'Reilly who was trying to get out of Korea, and he would wear dresses and do that whole thing. Anything to get out of the military. In this case, this guy really wants to be a woman. There's no question about it. But first you're asking the Army to reduce the sentence. Then you're asking the president for a pardon. And then, oh by the way, you're asking for hormones, female hormones, because you want to be a woman. And I have a feeling he's going to find that there's a lot of denials on this. And, you know, this has been a huge debate in this country. I mean, is he a whistleblower, a traitor, for giving up 700,000 pieces of classified military and diplomatic documents? Or is it the opposite? He exposed the military for wrongdoing and things that should have been out there and prompted all of this debate that may have changed a few things. You know, the volume of all of this, as I keep saying, was the biggest leak of classified materials in our history, bigger than the Pentagon Papers. And we've talked about that before. Different story in how the Pentagon Papers, you know, what happened there. So Manning gets the 35 years. I mentioned that could be reduced. He gets out, you know, seven and a half, who knows, ultimately. And maybe he ends up with a pardon. Although, if he got a pardon, I don't think Obama pardons him. But if he did, it would be at the end. It would be at the end of his term, you know, as he's leaving office. But I don't see that. I doubt it. Especially if you listen to some of the things he's said about Snowden and classified materials and that kind of stuff. All right. right, we're headed for the exits of this hour of America tonight with little odds and ends. Hang with us.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you helped eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
I need somewhere to hang my head without your news. You gave me something that I didn't have, but had no use. I was too weak to give in, too strong to lose. My heart is under arrest again, but I pray.
All right, take the wheel, will ya? We're going around that final turn here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A couple of quick ones already. Joe in Missouri says, Manning is a wacko. I served in the military, and it makes my stomach turn. I know it's not politically correct, but I don't care. I think they need to throw him in the hole big time, and he should stay for a lot longer. He got off easy. He needs to shut his mouth, and he can be Chelsea or Mary or whatever he wants to be when he gets out of prison. Then this one from Ken, who weighs in, and Ken says, Syria, normally I would say let's leave it alone. I know you've been taking that stance, Kate, for a while because we realize we're depleted and we really have nothing left in the tank. But I would say why not dump some humanitarian-type aid and absolutely ratchet up whatever it is we're trying to do in that respect, given what we've now learned with the gas situation. That is horrific and horrendous, and as you described, it makes your stomach turn. So I would say we have to do that. No boots on the ground, but the other stuff, if you know what I mean. Yeah, humanitarian aid is different. Doing whatever you can, get you know, dropping food, sources, water, all that kind of stuff. But then other people will tell you, well, then the soldiers are going to find them anyway, the Assad people, and they're going to kill them. So this is the problem, right? This big camp, you see where it is, close to Turkey, but then they got to be absorbed into Turkey. It's a nightmare. It is. And it has been for the last couple of years. And see, this is part of the problem, letting something linger. You know, there's a reason for black ops, right? I guarantee there's things that even if we all had a source, there's things we don't know. And sometimes you got to figure, wouldn't it be nice if the good guys won? And it wasn't just in the novels, right? It wasn't just in the Vince Flynn novels where the good guys take out the bad guys and nobody blinks an eye or is aware of what's really happened. In this case, Syria has been festering for so long. It's almost like Assad is becoming like Ahmadinejad, especially how Ahmadinejad really was. Let me just throw this in your face. I'm going to challenge you. Come after me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's almost like he is doing the same thing. All right. And by the way, we have a correction here on America Tonight, thanks to Jack Down Under. Max Klinger, not Corporal O'Reilly, was the one in the dress in MASH. Woohoo! Do we have some applause from our studio audience at the Plush GCN Studios in Minneapolis?
So plush.
Where's that crowd? I didn't even hear the crowd. Crowd gone wild. They were sitting on their hands. Am I dating myself? I don't even know that. I really thought it was O'Reilly. All right, Max Klinger. Yes. And actually, now that I think about it, Klinger was played by the actor who was from Ohio, from Toledo, Ohio. I can't think of his name now off the top of my head, that everybody used to talk about. They really, really liked him. That show was so popular. It's one of the all-time biggest, like the finale of MASH, or one of the biggest audiences of all time. So what an hour. We've talked about Manning wants to be a woman. We've talked about the Syria situation. We've gone to Turkey and talked to someone who snuck over the border and was in Syria. And now this push-pull over what to do there. There's a couple of other things to mix in that include this story about, and this isn't a surprise because we knew this was coming certainly down the pike, but the Justice Department is suing the state of Texas over the voter ID law. And this is another dividing line in this country. Yay to showing identification when you vote, or no? Do you just show up and say, let me vote? Am I on the rolls? So the Justice Department says, yeah, we're going after Texas. And this isn't a surprise because this piggybacks off of what happened with the Supreme Court ruling. So they're going to look for ways to intervene in a lawsuit over the redistricting policies. And that's the latest back and forth in this dispute between the feds and Texas. The governor said that this is stupid. He blasted the move and said that we're going to continue to defend the integrity of our elections. So the filing of endless litigation in an effort to obstruct the will of the people of Texas is what we've come to expect from the Attorney General Eric Holder and President Obama. And here's the thing. If you're driving around in Missouri like Joe, or you're like Ken and you're in Florida and it's your day off tomorrow and you're dropping the line somewhere and you say, yeah, well, I'm no offense, but I'm not in Texas. I don't care. I think that you should have to show ID, but, you know, why do I care about Texas? You care about Texas because guess what? You are paying for that. Your money. Yeah, there you go, the bells. You are paying for the lawsuit. Because your Justice Department is going after Texas and spending money. Remember, it's just like going after Arizona. They spent a whole lot of money going after Arizona with the police law that was kicking in about being able to ask somebody if they were in the country. Remember that whole fiasco? So this is the same thing. Anytime any legal matters come up, this is part of our taxes. Just you got to think of it that way. You know, how many millions of us are filing taxes and the federal monies that we dump in, it's what keeps the government going. We're paying holders' salary, and that's part of where that money's going. I could think of other people to go after. If I had a tote board and I'm the attorney general, I got bigger fish to fry, to me. But not everybody agrees on that. Some people think that it is a way to this is a way to keep minorities down. They think that it's they think that, you know, in Texas they're doing that on purpose, and in other states they're trying to do the same thing, that they're trying to jimmy rig the elections and make sure certain people don't get to vote. But on the other side of the coin, if people are in the country illegally, why should they vote? Why should they get to vote if you're in the country illegally? But the other argument is, but wait a second, what about the people who are legal to vote who can't get to the polls and they're purposely trying to stop the people from going to the polls? You know, that's that whole push-pull thing. But this all comes from the Supreme Court ruling that removed a portion of the Voting Rights Act that required 16 jurisdictions to seek pre-clearance from the DOJ before making any changes to election laws and redistricting laws. So you knew that this was going to happen. Now it's just happened because Holder said he said it was flawed, and he said he would find a way to challenge the ruling. And he was going to target other provisions and say it was unfair, and that's what he's going to do. But the Texas governor says this is just another end round around the Supreme Court by doing that. So what the government is going to say, the harder their case will be, that Texas adopted a voter ID law with the purpose of denying or restricting the right to vote on account of race, color, or membership in a language minority group. So that's what I've said. So they're saying that they're discriminating, purposely trying to make it all white, all right, all now. They're not quite saying that, but that's what they mean. And this is that whole thing with the redistricting. So this could be interesting to follow. Well, it will be interesting to follow. And there are other states, by the way, who are doing the same thing, who are pushing voter ID laws and think that that's what we should have. You should have an ID, and you should use that ID, and that ID is what you vote with, right? There's got to be an easier way, folks. We do not live in a banana republic. Sometimes, though, it seems as if we are in that situation, right? I mean, we have a big country, there is no question. End to end, you know, from the east to the west, I get it. But, and all these various polling places, but I know there is a much better way to do it. Of course, there are people that are cheating. Of course, there are people that are trying to limit people from voting on all sides of this, by the way. It's not a one-sided deal. But I think that's completely separate from somebody truly saying, okay, you either want this, it's this way. You either want this voter ID like they have in other countries, in some other countries like Ecuador where I spent some time, or you don't want the ID. It's as simple as that. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight. Kate Delaney, you can always hook up with us. How? Go to the website, americatonight.net. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide provide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.